Milton Friedman once said there is no such thing as a free lunch. Does that apply to healthcare? And does that mean the R word, rationing, will be a factor in healthcare reform? Hi, welcome to the Bioethics Channel, a production of the Center for Practical Bioethics. For more information about the center and its programs, go to practicalbioethics.org. That's practicalbioethics.org. Dr. John Lantos joins us. He holds the John B. Francis Chair in Bioethics, and he served on President Clinton's task force on national health care reform in the 1990s. Dr. Lantos, the R word, rationing, has entered the debate over health care reform. You've stated before that we already ration health care. Could you explain that, please?
Well, of course we ration health care. Health care is very expensive. Health care needs are infinite. And we can't afford everything that we would possibly want. So we don't get everything we would possibly want. That's rationing. The question isn't, do we ration? It's, what do we ration? How do we ration? For whom do we ration? And who gets to make the decisions? Most people would say, if a new treatment comes along that could extend your life by a week and cost $10 million, we couldn't provide that for everyone in America. At least not that, and food, clothing, and shelter as well. So those are the kinds of decisions that are inevitably a part of any healthcare system.
Now, you stated in a recent blog at the center that the real question in healthcare rationing is who gets to eat and who pays the bill.
Well, I was quoting a famous article written by health economist Uwe Reinhardt, who teaches at Princeton, called Table Manners at the Healthcare Feast. He pointed out that our healthcare system has always been more expensive than any other industrialized country, and much of that money goes to providing higher salaries for healthcare workers rather than for anything that improves health outcomes. Any measurable health outcome in the U.S. is the same or worse than in most European countries, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. So whatever we're spending, we don't seem to be getting any more bang for our buck. What we do clearly get is richer doctors, richer hospital administrators, richer insurance companies. And so part of what rationing would achieve, I think, is rationing salaries rather than rationing health care.
Is a true understanding of rationing inhibited by the fact that we're somewhat, at least, shielded from the true cost of health care?
Oh, yeah. Our entire system is designed to make it impossible to figure out who's paying what for whom. That doesn't mean that we are shielded in the sense that we're not paying. Nobody else is paying for our health care. We are paying for our health care. We just do it through mechanisms that are not straightforward or not able to be disentangled. That is, payroll taxes, insurance premiums, all income taxes, all sorts of other mechanisms to provide dollars to pay for health care without anybody feeling that they themselves are getting the bill.
Well, for a lot of people, a doctor visit may be a prepay of $20. That's what health care costs.
That is the immediate out-of-pocket cost, of course, although if the doctor is getting $200, somebody's paying the other $180. That somebody is you. You're just paying it in a way that's not straightforward.
It seems that in order for healthcare reform to be successful, we must cut costs. That's what everybody's talking about in Washington, D.C. and elsewhere. But it seems like in order to cut costs, we must ration care. Is that a fair assessment?
Yes and no. You could imagine the following scenario. Imagine that the government decided that the way we were going to reorganize the healthcare system was to immediately slash all prices by 10%. Hospitals would still provide the same services. Doctors would still see as many patients. They'd just earn 10% less money. We wouldn't limit anything that's currently available. It would just be cheaper.
Now, wouldn't doctors argue that slashing what they get by 10%, their reimbursement by 10%, then has an effect of having them cut staff? Maybe they're not able to have the type of practice that they feel like is required to best meet the needs of their patients that come to them. What about that argument?
Imagine a company that has 10 employees and their revenues go down by 10%. There would be, and imagine that all the employees make the same amount of money. There'd be two ways to meet payroll with 10% less revenue. Fire one employee, which would be rationing jobs, or cut everybody's salary by 10%. Everybody would still be working. The company would be just as productive, but their payroll costs would be lower. You could imagine doing that for healthcare. And in fact, that would get us closer to the way every other country provides healthcare. Most healthcare bills are 30% less than in our country, and people aren't getting less healthcare. They're just paying less for it.
A recent article in the New York Times was entitled "Healthcare Rationing Rhetoric Overlooks Reality." I'd like to share with you a few highlights of that and ask for your reaction. The author said, "The choice isn't between rationing and not rationing. It's between rationing well and rationing badly."
Well, as I said at the beginning, we ration, every healthcare system rations, so it's not a question of whether we will or won't, it's how. So I assume that's what the author was talking about, whether we can make decisions to provide the most effective treatments, the most cost-effective treatments, and to provide them for the most people who need them. That way we'd get more value for our healthcare dollar while still limiting access to certain treatments or to certain incomes for certain people.
Quoting here again, one proposal for healthcare reform would call on the federal government to do more research on which treatments actually worked. Armed with better information, Medicare could pay more for effective treatments and no longer pay quite so much for healthcare that does not make people healthier.
What a scary thing to only pay for treatments that work. It sounds socialist to me.
Okay, come on now. Sarcasm, I guess, can work on this, you know, but go ahead. Explain some more, please.
Imagine the alternative. Medicare would not evaluate treatments to see whether they would work, but would simply pay for any treatment, whether it's been studied or not, for any person, whether it does them harm or good. It's absurd. So all the rhetoric about cost-effectiveness analysis or comparative effectiveness analysis or only paying for treatments that work being a dangerous thing is ludicrous and absurd. Of course we only want to pay for treatments that work. The question is whether the studies themselves are done well, which gets back to the question of whether rationing will be done well.
The idea of research, and I've talked to you about this outside of this podcast, the idea that research into treatment of what treatments actually work sounds good, but I'm reminded of my days with the Medical Society here in Kansas City, Missouri, when a doctor told me, you know, Laurel, it's possible to practice good medicine and still have a bad result. And the context of that was the idea of a one-size-fits-all cookbook of medicine that made him cringe and, frankly, makes me cringe a little bit. Is that a factor in this? Is that a risk?
That is the nature of medical science. Every time we do a randomized controlled trial, the gold standard for scientific knowledge in medicine, we are coming up with a cookbook of one-size-fits-all medicine. We take 1,000 people. We flip a coin to decide who gets treatment A or treatment B. If 51% of the people in one group do better and 49% in the other group do better, then from now on everybody gets the treatment that worked for 51% of people. That's medical science. Is it cookbook? Yes. Is that a bad thing? No. What's the alternative? Your friendly doctor working for the medical society makes it up himself for every patient that he sees in every clinical encounter. If you would feel better getting that kind of health care, you are not a wise health care consumer.
Take that, says Dr. Lantos. A lot of this discussion is taking place in the venue of politics within that arena. Is that a very helpful place for this kind of discussion to take place?
Well, obviously, a philosopher king making the decisions would be a much better way to do it, somebody who was all-wise, all-knowing, and all-powerful, who could make the decisions about what should or should not be provided immunized from any political pressure, organized lobbying, or self-interest. I don't see that on the political horizon in the United States, so democratic processes are the least worst alternative for doing this. The mystery, I think, is why such processes have worked more poorly in this country than in most other industrialized democracies.
At least when it comes to health care.
Which, as I say, have managed to cover all their citizens for two-thirds of the cost and with better outcomes. The United States has been trying to achieve comprehensive health care reform since Teddy Roosevelt's time. He was the first to propose a universal health care coverage system about 100 years ago. And we've been chipping away at it in ways that reflect political alliances, deeply held cultural values, and market forces. I think that's the way it's going to continue to be with all its frightening inefficiencies.
So, Dr. Lantos, how should we examine the arguments, the rhetoric around the debate on rationing to reach our own, dare I say it, rational decisions on what to support?
Careful scrutiny of the packages that are coming out of Congress, comparative effectiveness in a different sense than it's usually used, that is, comparing what we get in this country with what other countries provide, and an understanding that nobody else is paying for what we get, even though figuring out each person's individual a contribution to the healthcare system is unbelievably difficult, if not impossible. But we're all paying for it. We all have an interest in limiting the cost that we pay, and that will inevitably require some limitations on what individuals can get for their health care.
Dr. John Lantos holds the John B. Francis Chair in Bioethics at the Center for Practical Bioethics, and he served on President Clinton's Task Force on National Healthcare Reform. You've been listening to the Bioethics Channel, a production of the Center for Practical Bioethics. For more information, visit the Center's website at practicalbioethics.org. That's practicalbioethics.org. I'm your host, Laurel LeBoux. Thanks for listening to the Bioethics Channel.